I'm going to call to order a special meeting of the Vero Beach City Council for Monday, August 9, 2010. Would you all please stand with us and have a moment of silence for a loved one that has passed, and then remain standing for the flag salute.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated.
We don't have a big
crowd. Roll call.
Councilmember Bright?
Here.
Councilmember Myers?
Here.
Councilmember Peterson?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
Here.
Mayor Scholes?
Here. Thank you, Lori. City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements this evening?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. On July 19th, 2010, after meeting in closed session on one item, labor negotiation on SEIU, the represented employee group, Council reconvened into open session. There were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Great. Thank you. Moving on to our agenda review this evening, this is where the council reviews the agenda as presented by staff in the order presented by staff. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Mayor, before we move forward.
Yes, City Attorney.
Thank you. We would request that item number 3 be moved till after 14.
Okay. So item 3 will move. We will move it to after item 14.
Yeah, we're going to move the other way, but that's good.
The reason for that is that the if the council votes for a continuance, it has to be continued to a date certain. And until we set the date certain for the for the September meeting, that date will not be known.
Very good. Okay. Any other suggested changes to the agenda?
I'll move that we accept the agenda with the one change. Otherwise, accept it as presented.
I'll second that.
Receive $50 in Shop and Dine gift certificates. For those of you who do not know what Shop and Dine is, it's a program to help support our local businesses. You collect 10 stickers on a card. You get a sticker for each visit that you make at a local participating business. And once you have the 10 stickers on your card, you can deposit them here at City Hall for the drawing. And Mr. Mayor, who would you like to have draw tonight?
I know Mr. Lee's ducking. We'll each grab two. How's that?
Pass the wealth around here.
The first winner is Tom Fuge.
Okay. Bless you.
Our second winner is Rosemary Lucier. Our third winner is Barry Haig.
There we go. That's me.
Our fourth winner is Pat Pierce.
AKA Cameron Bright. That's one.
Our fifth winner is Carol Krasner.
Getting closer.
Take it up.
Our sixth winner is Cassandra Mesa.
Go Cassandra.
Our seventh winner is Barry Haig.
Oh, Barry, go for it.
Our eighth winner is Richard Peterson.
Good name. No relations.
Our ninth winner is Barry Haig.
Oh, come on. Who's this Barry?
And our tenth winner is A. Johnson. I will say I do know that Barry shops a lot and
I guess he does.
Eats out a lot in Grover Beach, and it's paying off.
Good for him.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Chapman.
Somebody has to win.
Good, Barry.
All right, always a good time. And everyone, remember, there's still time. So get a card, shop local, shop loyal. Let's try and help the businesses out as much as we can. Let's move on to public communication. And this is an opportunity for the public to address the council on any item that is not on our agenda.
This month and on into the first part of September is the Sizzling Summer Concert Series and Farmers Markets on Sunday afternoons, starting at 3 o'clock over at Ramona Garden Park. And our upcoming band this week is Critical Mass, not to be confused with the biking event elsewhere, but Critical Mass will be playing this weekend. And then coming up on August 28th is the Dune Run, starting downtown as well. And then that's going to precede the Stone Soup Festival and Music Fair. And that'll be going the 28th and the 29th. And Stone Soup is free to attendees. Come out and support the city and local retailers. So this week is actually the last week of our skate camps. There is still a room available for anyone who wants to attend, but this is the last week of the summer skate camps. And then upcoming events, realizing that some scheduling changes for the council members and so forth, the 9/11 memorial event, unfortunately, is right around the corner again. That's going to be happening Saturday, the 11th, at Ramona Garden Park. There's an art exhibit from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., and then the ceremony is actually from 4 to 5 that day. So we do have our 8th annual Fall Skate Classic coming up on September 18th, and that'll be at the South County Skate Park. And then if there's any other events that you're interested in, check the activities calendar comes out in the mail and or visit www.grover.org. And I'm available for questions.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Any questions from the council? Councilmember Bright.
What time did you say the ceremony is for the 9/11, please?
That'll be from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m.
4 to 5 at Ramona Park?
At Ramona Park, correct.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communications? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. And let's go into our public hearings this evening. This is item number 2 on the agenda. And this is a capital improvement project number 384, South 4th Street Rehabilitation Project. And it looks like Public Works Director Ray is giving the staff report this evening.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor. Honorable Mayor and City Council. Greg Ray, Public Works Director.
No.
The mics.
Sounds good to me.
Looks like
we don't have Donna to run this thing up here, so you got to do it all the day.
Okay, try it now.
A little background. The project 384 was identified in the CIP for 2011. This includes South 4th Street between Farrell Road and Highland Way. And the general plan circulation element, this section of road is classified as a minor arterial. It's also considered a truck route and is designated for bike lanes. This also serves the city's South Industrial area. As you're probably well aware, the roadway surface on South 4th Street is significantly deteriorated. The project is located within the coastal zone and requires the city to approve a coastal development permit. The purpose of tonight's public hearing is to allow public comments on the mitigated negative declaration and coastal development permit prior to council taking action on the item. Brief discussion of the project. As you see on the overhead here and in your staff reports, the project, as I mentioned, extends on South 4th Street from Farrell Road to approximately the city limits. It includes a major street rehabilitation, including widening of the street, striping for Class 2 bike lanes, installation of sewer lines and sewer laterals to each of the businesses and residences along South 4th, and installation of fiber optic conduits for future fiber optic cable. In order to complete the project, it will require removal of approximately 13 eucalyptus trees along the railroad right-of-way side of the project. That's the west side of South 4th Street. And also as part of the project, individual sewer laterals will be extended to each of these properties. Tonight's recommended action is to consider public testimony and adopt the resolution approving the mitigated negative declaration and adopt a resolution granting a coastal development permit for the project. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Nice staff report. Any questions to my left?
I have one.
Okay, Councilman Peterson.
Do you know yet how many businesses will be affected by this work?
Actually, I can look on the overhead, although it's pretty old here. It's in the neighborhood of 15.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions to my right?
Are you including the stumps in that number of?
Yeah, that's why the number is slightly questionable. Some of the stumps might be identified as a tree. They've kind of, some of them have begun to regrow into a eucalyptus tree, but you know, there's about 8 trees, I believe, and the rest are stumps.
Okay. And when I was reading, I believe that it was in the mitigated negative declaration that by removing those trees, it would also open up the a view corridor and so on.
There were view considerations in the mitigated negative declaration, but they were considered less than significant.
Right. So I think that. Okay, that's good enough. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem. Okay. So I just want to go back and clarify. This item is the mitigated negative declaration that looks at the potential environmental impacts associated with the proposed project, correct?
That is correct. The actual approval and award of the project, the construction contract for the project, is on consent tonight.
And that's item number 14 under consent.
No, I think it's
12.
Somewhere.
It's 12, I'm sorry. It's 12, item 12. I wrote 12 down and said 14, so off by 2. Okay, because I just wanted to make sure that we're discussing the environmental document, and when we get to that point, if someone wants to have some discussion about the project, we can do that. I think there's some folks who are here interested in making a comment or so, but that would be the more appropriate time. But let me ask you some questions specific to the environmental document. As I read through the document, there were some conditions, and mitigated means there are some conditions of approval that are suggested by staff and the environmental consultant. On page 11 of the initial study, mitigated neg deck, there is a discussion about ground disturbance timing for nesting birds. This is vial 1. And I just wanted to get an idea of the timing of construction. And what this says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the gist of it is they're talking about avoiding impacts to nesting birds or species that if the tree removal were to be between February 1 and September 1st, it must be preceded by a pre-construction survey for active nest. Has that been done?
If you put both of the bio mitigation measures proposed on a calendar, you'll notice that between September 1st and September 30th, there's a window of opportunity in which the trees could be removed and there's no perceived impact. So we've already been in touch with the low bid contractor who we assume will be awarded the contract.
Okay, so it's the same time frame. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that I understood the timing, so that's probably just as well to have not had to do the survey. And then I had a question on the actual resolution. Under conditions of approval, City Attorney, have you had a chance to review this and approve this as to form?
The resolution?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Okay. I was just curious because the condition G2, which talks about the project complying with all federal, state, and local codes and regulations, is that a requirement or is that a condition? That's something that they would have to do no matter what, right?
Yeah, you'd have to comply with the with applicable codes and ordinances, regardless of whether there was an MND or not.
Okay, so maybe, because what I was worried is when we put in code requirements and things like this as a condition, folks think they are negotiable. So that may be something the staff wants to, would want to talk about in subsequent projects. Okay. So I don't have any other questions at this time. And I don't believe any, I think everyone else asked their questions. So, no? Okay. I'm going to open this up to the public. And as we said before, this particular item is regarding the environmental of the project, just the environmental review. The project and the actual approving the project going forward will probably be under the consent agenda, which is the following item. So is there anyone here tonight that would like to address the environmental document, the impacts of the tree removal or anything of that nature? No? Okay. So let me close it to the public and bring it back to the council. You guys feel like there needs, you feel like you want to have some more discussion on this, or right, is someone prepared to make a motion?
All right, I'll move that.
Go. Mayor Pro Tem, you have the floor.
All right, let's make a motion. Do we do this with two separate motions, Council?
Yes, please.
I move that we adopt the resolution approving the mitigated negative declaration.
I'll second that.
Okay. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
Yes.
Council.
Okay, so the initial environmental study and the mitigated neg dec have been approved by the council. I do have a question regarding, is there an appeal time associated with that?
I believe that there is a 10-day appeal time that's applicable to the coastal development permit.
Okay.
Because it's an appealable zone, or at least majority of the project is in the appealable zone.
And given the projected start time of the project, we should be okay. Okay. Very good.
Good question.
So let's see where we go from here. Item number 3 was moved to after item 14. That's why I was looking at 14. So then we are going to move to consent. This is the consent agenda is for routine items that typically the council takes in bulk. And tonight we have, I believe, 9 items on the consent agenda. I didn't have a request to speak on any item from the public, but the council will decide if they want to pull any item from consent. So do any members want to pull an item from the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull item number 7, please.
Okay.
And I'd like to pull the item we've been discussing.
Number 12?
Number 12, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
I'd like to comment on 13th, but I don't think it needs to be pulled.
Why don't you want to?
That's regular business, though.
So. Oh, that's regular business. So you're
okay. Sorry.
Okay.
So then if you're ready for a motion, I will make that.
Please do. Okay.
No, it's not.
I'll make a motion then that we accept the consent agenda as presented, with the exception of item 7 and item 12.
That's okay. It doesn't matter.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. There's a motion. There's a second. Any additional discussion? Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Bright?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
Yes.
Councilmember Myers?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
Mayor Scholes?
Yes. Okay, so we typically take those items and move them to the end of the agenda, but given the audience here tonight, let's take item number 7, and this was requested to be pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Nichols. So you have the floor.
I wanted to bring to the attention of director that has been hired, attorney Patricia Gomez, who has been involved in the homeless population for quite a number of years. She's extremely capable working with the Homeless Oversight Committee, and I just think that recommendation by the grand jury is actually a duplication of what's already being accomplished by the Homeless Oversight Committee. In addition to that, item six, the grand jury recommended that the South County Incorporated Cities and appropriate nonprofit groups should vigorously pursue joint efforts to build and operate a facility that provides both day services and night shelter for homeless persons in the five cities area. Recommendation number seven was that the cities in the South County and the five cities homeless coalition should begin to work with local churches and service groups to provide temporary shelter until the facility is operative. That's exactly what has been going on for the last 6 months. There is an organization been put together called the Clap Road Initiative. There's a family from Oceano that has left $1.5 million to be used for the homeless population in the South County. As a result of that, the Clap Road Initiative was formed. The money was left in the care of the San Luis Obispo Foundation, and they are overseeing the work that the task force is doing. And in September, there will be a presentation before the San Luis Foundation setting forth basically what I think I would call a business plan as to how this organization would like to use the $1.5 million to create a facility for the homeless people in the South County area. And all of that, again, is part of the 10-year plan set up by the county and the oversight committee of which, again, I am a member of. I just felt that that information needed to be brought forward. Mm-hmm. It's something that's already being done. I don't fully understand why the grand jury, if they had done the investigation that they normally do, I think they would have been aware of these things that are already ongoing, that are well underway, well under development. And I think everybody should know that that program is in existence and it is going.
Okay, very good. And Mayor Pro Tem, on the Clap Road Initiative you spoke of, will there be a public workshop or anything coming soon?
Yes, there will be. The date hasn't been set yet, but we are working on a presentation that tentatively it will be on September the 1st. We're looking at the possibility of holding it at the South County Regional Center. And some of you may recall that back in 2008, Mayor Scholes put together an organization at which time there were people from all of the five cities and county supervisor's office that worked on the possibility of bringing together all of these communities, nonprofit, religious groups that are interested in the homeless population. And this is part of what came out of that. And basically, that's what we're going to have on September 1 to advise the public as to exactly what's going on and ask for their support for this project.
Okay, very good. Since we've pulled this item, I'm going to see if there's anyone in the public or in the audience that would like to speak on this item. Is there anyone interested in speaking on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close this to the public, bring it back to the council. And let me just say that staff did a very good job in preparing this letter for my signature. I think it really captures the essence and the commitment of the city council. So I wanted to say good job on preparation of the letter. I know Bob usually knows I have a few tweaks here and there, but not this time. Nicely done. And with that, would someone make a motion on this item?
I'd like to move that we accept the letter as written. I think there was one little typo in it that
yes.
I'd mentioned.
And
you can fix that.
Yeah, they can catch that.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. And I think we can just do this with a voice vote, correct? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, let's move on to item number 12. This is award of bid for the street rehabilitation project or South 4th Street from Farrell to Highland Way. And Public Works Director, City Engineer Ray, would you like to give us a real brief staff report?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Greg Ray, Director of Public Works, City Engineer. The project is identified as the 4th Street Rehabilitation Project from Farrell Road to Highland Way. You've already seen a project description in the earth. The recommendation is for you to adopt a resolution to award the street rehabilitation project, to authorize the city manager to sign and affirm change orders in the amount up to $53,000 and some change, and authorize an amount of $63,500 to be programmed for Project 301. And the final recommendation is to authorize the mayor to execute the contract on behalf of the city. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Any questions of staff?
No. Just to clarify that, okay. 301 is the Safe Routes to School project?
That's correct. Safe Routes to School, Grover Heights Elementary.
Grover Heights,
area.
Right. Okay.
I do have
No questions. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Peterson.
I'm wondering what, if you've put any provisions in place for how you'll be contacting the businesses that will be affected?
Yes, absolutely. We've already been in contact with Brough Construction. We will be preparing a pre-construction meeting to include as many of the owners and business people that would like to attend, and we will go over construction access and convenience issues during construction, including all phases of construction to the end of the project.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that would include a traffic control plan.
Traffic control, dust control, mitigation, access to the driveways, and even down to the detail of exactly where they'd like their sewer laterals located.
So, very good.
Will they have the opportunity, you'll have the traffic plan, will they have the opportunity to make comments and perhaps make some changes in that traffic plan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did you have a
No,
question?
I just commented.
So I did want to ask the question. I'm looking at, according to the staff report, the engineer's estimate, including construction staking, construction management, and contingency, was about $940,000. And the project has come in right at around $600,000. And we had budgeted those funds, so I understand with that additional $300,000 or so, we can transfer money to the Grover Heights project. On that Grover Heights project, is it short, or is this just providing some additional contingency?
This provides money for the contingency.
Okay.
In addition to that, it provides money for some minor construction management.
Estimated that we might be able to move that money to other streets that may need it.
There are portions of the funding that would be appropriate for use at council's
discretion. Okay, very good.
I had one more question.
Okay, Councilman Peterson.
Is there someone from the contractors who is designated to attend these meetings and who's designated to coordinate in terms of working with the businesses to make sure that they're not negatively impacted?
Yes. Early on in the project, there's a contract requirement to designate a construction superintendent, and mm-hmm. that person would be the person in charge of both coordinating with the city on a daily basis as well as coordinating with residents and businesses.
And it specifically states that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I think that's all of our questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this project? Please come forward and state your name and city of residence for the record.
My name is Demi Castelli, and my city of residence is Santa Maria, California.
Okay.
I would like to address the gentleman who just left, or the council also, but I think he can answer the question.
Well, he's standing and wanted to ask your question.
Okay. Will the owners of property and businesses in that area be notified of the pre-construction meeting in the same way we were notified of this meeting? Because I do have questions. We have questions.
Okay. Why don't you finish your questions? That's one.
That's the question.
That's the question?
That's
the
only question. That's it?
So, I know Mr. Ray's there, city manager. Either one of you want to take that question?
All property owners will be provided written notice of the meeting and well in advance of when that meeting is scheduled for.
And for tonight's meeting, were they given a, did they receive a, did you receive a postcard or how were you notified?
We were notified by letter, but it was our understanding that we may be able to ask questions, a different type of question. And I noticed that it was very limited to environmental impact and bid. So.
Well, yeah. So on this item, if there's any other questions, I'd like you to come forward and ask those questions now is appropriate.
Thank you.
The earlier item was just the environmental. This is actually the project. So
perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Are you going to be able to connect to the city sewer at no cost?
You had to throw the last part in. So, Will, why don't you? Is that that's one question?
Last one question. Further.
Okay.
The next question is: are we going to get sidewalks? Just like Grand, you know, and right here I'm reading all this just jumps up. Maria here is rehab, rehabilitation. That keeps on jumping out at me. Is that just another a good word for a big Band-Aid, or is it actually going to be street reconstruction?
Okay.
You know, in the past, you know, I've come out here in the past 12 years. With the issue of 4th Street, and it keeps on, like every year, it's just a Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. So if you can answer me those two questions, hooking up to the sewer line at no cost and sidewalks. Thank you.
Okay. Staff, you've got three questions.
Mr. Mayor, if I can ask Greg to come up and answer directly what those improvements will include. And during the property owners meeting, we'll also be providing information regarding procedures to connect, but maybe Greg can highlight what those will be as well.
Okay.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council. To answer specifically the question of will sidewalks be included, no, they will not be. This includes a major reconstruction of the street, though. So portions of the street will be completely new. There'll be street where there was not previously street. The remaining portions of the street will have, roughly 60% of the asphalt removed, and then it'll be overlaid, so it'll essentially be a brand new street. Sewer laterals will be extended to each of the businesses and residences in that section that are currently on septic, and it will not be at no cost.
Okay.
There's a cost associated with achieving city sewer service.
Very good. And I would maybe take a step further, say at that time that there's discussion of a lateral if someone seeks relief, there is a process that's in place, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And I thought it was a very good question on sidewalks, and I'll have a comment on that later. Please come forward.
My name is Elmer Dale. Was taken care of, and that the timing on that thing was been really bad during the different construction projects. And the construction project that's going on right now, to me, is dragging on forever, and it reminds me of the freeway that took about a year to finish. And so I'm concerned about 4th Street and that portion being done in a timely manner. Are we shortening up that contract? I look at up in the Bay Area where they built a whole bridge in a shorter period of time that's taken them to redo Grand Avenue over here. And things are different, I know, but at the same time, I feel really sorry for those businesses. And I'm looking forward about tearing up my car even more over really bad roads as the construction period goes on. Another thing I'm concerned about is when the city redid Highland Way, which was a great job. They met with us before and discussed different things, and we had an option. We discussed sidewalks, sewer lines, and this type of thing, and it sounds like that hasn't happened yet from what I'm hearing from these different people and businesses going on, and the bid is already being awarded here tonight and things like that. I'm curious about the laterals that go up to Highland Way. Will that be able to be tied into so that the people on Highland Way that are right there can tie into that sewer lateral? Or are we going to have to reinvent the wheel and dig out a whole new thing and redo things? Have those things been thought about and addressed? But, you know, the timeliness of it, hopefully will be short and sweet, and we can have a nice road.
Thank you, Mr. Dell. Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close it to the public and staff. If you could come back, Mr. Dell had a question really about construction timing, and maybe just kind of expand a little bit on the West Grand Avenue project about some of the sensitivities and why, and the reasons why that project got pushed back later, and why people are perceiving it's taken a long time. Really, what's the time frame?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. Let's see, with regard to construction timing on West Grand Avenue, that project was originally scheduled to begin construction in the winter months. There was an anticipation that we would have another dry year, and it was hoped that that project could be constructed before and completed prior to summer. There were sufficient number of construction work with the potential for rain being predicted almost every week. So unfortunately, as a result, the project was moved into the summer months.
Okay.
The project is well within the time allotted for the construction. In fact, actually will come in well under the time allotted. The contractor has stepped the project up, and the city has done what it can to accelerate the construction process within the available funding. The gentleman mentioned a bridge project that Caltrans completed, and that project was completed early because Caltrans has a process wherein they grant additional compensation to a contractor for completing a project under schedule. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea if you have unlimited funds, or not, as the state of California may very well, or not. Anyway, that's an option that we didn't have to consider, though.
Okay, and then on this particular project, we don't foresee those issues. We have a construction start and stop, and it's going to take a little longer because there's some obviously major infrastructure underground that needs to go in prior to the road being done, correct?
There's a considerable amount of underground related to this project, the fiber optic conduits and the newer sewer line and laterals. There's a potential for something unknown down there, but I don't anticipate a significant construction delay related to that. We're talking more like the range of a day to 2 day delay for something in that neighborhood. I think the project will proceed forward in a timely fashion and get done quickly.
Okay, and then before I let you go, the question was brought up about sewer being extended along Highland. And I know that we had, Bob, you recall we had some discussion about if there were funds, and we would look at where there may be some possible gaps to see if there was opportunities. Has that work gone any further?
Not at this time, but we can certainly take a look at the amount of sewer dollars that are left and work with that possibly.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ray. We've closed it to the public. And if you have another question. Okay. Well, what was the question that he did not?
The question was, are they going to stop down below, or are they going to come up and make it possible to turn the corner on Highland at some later date, or will it have to be invented and we'll have to start all over again?
Okay. So where does the sewer end when it gets to Highland? Is it? Boy, I have to say... I thought everyone was out here to say thank you so much for finally getting to this street. Gosh, well, yeah. Anyway, you know, we could use a little bit of that every now and then. Thank you. Anyway, then we're gonna have some more discussion, or if someone who wants to make the motion on this exciting project that's long overdue that we're gonna get done. So,
I don't want to make a motion yet. I'd like to talk a little bit more.
Okay, let's talk.
I'm actually delighted that there are so many people here, and I'm delighted that they're asking the questions and making the comments they're making, because I think that if the more of these questions and comments that we have up front, the better opportunity we have to get it right up front, to iron out the problems up front, and to not end up with the kind of
terribly painful crises that we've had on West Grand. And I think that all kinds of good intentions make absolutely no headway if we haven't done our work up front. And so personally, I would like to see us have a lot more interactions like we've had tonight. And thank you for coming out, all of you. And I hope you'll continue to stay highly vocal so that we can do a better job for you, and highly vocal near the beginning, not when we get started, but before we get started so we can get it right. So thank you. And what I have had the privilege of working with an outstanding right-of-way agency that has a procedure for doing these things and gets it right almost every time. And I think that as a city we could take a page from their book, and I would really like to see us go a few steps further than we've gone with this. And I'd like to see us not just having a meeting where we invite everybody and where people have to figure out where it is and get there, but where we become proactive. And I'd really like to see us contacting every person who lives along there and talking with them before the meeting and saying, can you look at and anticipate what some of the issues may be for you, what some of your questions and concerns will be, so that when we do have this meeting, we'll have some of those answers, we'll have ironed some of them out, and then when everybody comes together as a group, they'll have that benefit of brainstorming together and perhaps coming together with better ideas. Now, that's just my suggestion of how the big professionals do it. They're not real big, but that's how the pros do it. And I'd like to see us ramp it up a little bit.
Well, let me take a little exception to that, because these are pros.
They're pros.
The design of this project did come before this council, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason, that's always the tough part. And I agree. We appreciate everyone being here, mm-hmm. but this really is sort of the last stage in
the project we have, and the better we're able to serve our residents.
Gotcha. I agree with you on that. Any other discussion?
No, I'd just like to hear some more about how we may use those sewer funds to possibly.
Yeah.
So if we can talk about that later. Or.
Okay. And the one thing I wanted to talk about on the sidewalks is, I know we didn't talk about sidewalks on the eastern edge of the street, but I do know that the bicycle feasibility study we did talked about a multi-purpose trail,
yes.
that would be an extra wide sidewalk on the west edge of the street, and so that it is in a planning document. We would have to find funding at some later date. Unfortunately, funding is really difficult to come by, and when the federal government sends certain money, they put certain restrictions on it. So that is something that we are discussing. In order not to hold this project up tonight, because I think it's been long overdue, we need to move that forward and then have that discussion about the sidewalk, because there still is an opportunity for it on along the street on one side or the other. So with that, would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Councilmember Myers.
I'll move the recommended action of staff, which is adopt the resolution to award the street rehabilitation project on South 4th Farrell Road to Highland Way to the lowest responsive bidder, Borough Construction. Number two, authorize the city manager to sign and affirm change orders to the project in amounts up to $53,317 to be deducted from contingency. Three, authorize the city manager to execute an appropriation transfer to transfer funds from Project 384 in the amount of $63,500. And increase the program funding for Project 301, the Safe Routes to School project, in the same amount. Authorize number four, the mayor to execute the contract on behalf of the city. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. No additional discussion. Roll call.
Councilmember Myers?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
Yes.
Councilmember Wright?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
Mayor Scholes?
Absolutely, yes. Okay, with that, let's take a quick break. Let's reconvene at 7:30.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Greg Ray, Director of Public Works, City Engineer. Tonight's item involves the Ramona Specific Plan Phase 3 improvements. If you give me a moment, I'm going to put a slide up on the overhead. Thank you.
Turn them down. Turn on some air.
It is.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight staff is seeking council approval of a proposed Ramona Planning Area Phase 3 conceptual plan. This is an example of the conceptual plan here, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. This includes park improvements between a future cul-de-sac on 9th Street and Ramona Avenue, and improvements to 9th Street between Ramona Avenue and West Grand Avenue.
Proceed.
For some background, the Ramona specific plan was adopted by council in 2005, and this specific plan set the framework for cohesive development of the Ramona planning area. Phases 1 and 2 of that specific plan have been completed. What we're talking about tonight is Phase 3. On December 7th, 2009, council was presented with concepts for design of Phase 3. This included the proposed cul-de-sac on 9th Street and 9th Street improvements south of Ramona Avenue, and a proposed park area between the cul-de-sac and Ramona Avenue. Following that meeting, council received direction to prepare conceptual designs for that lower portion of 9th Street. At the March 15th, 2010 council meeting, council reviewed several design concepts for that portion of 9th Street between West Grand Avenue and Ramona. Tonight and later on in the meeting, we'll be showing you the additional design concepts that resulted from that meeting, where you saw about seven options for how to create a diagonal or parallel parking, one-way or two-way traffic, and additional sidewalk areas on that lower section of 9th. Back to the park improvements, however. And some of the options we considered in getting to tonight's recommendation. Terry?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council members. My name is Terry Lee, and my associate, Alicia Smith, were lucky enough to be asked by staff to look at conceptual work on a list of elements that they came up with. And tonight I want to go over that with Alicia and Council and see if we can't present to you a recommended alternative that works through these steps. So going quickly through what staff gave us as our element overview was the cul-de-sac, as we discussed. An important transition between the cul-de-sac, upper and lower, down to the Ramona Street level, a plaza area, park landscape area, and lower 9th Street entrance, a key element that was added to the elements for concepts. So the next slide will show this topo background here, this being 9th Street, where we took these elements and laid them out in a bubble format and noticed right away their interplay and connectivity. You can see that not only do they have a vertical connectivity, but they also have a very important lateral horizontal connectivity from the future community center over to the library, and also in a like manner from East Station over to the library and to the new park area in Ramona Street itself. So this becomes a very important graphic showing connectivity. One of the challenges, though, in the lateral connectivity is going to be a change in elevation between the proposed cul-de-sac and Ramona Street. There's a 10-foot change, so making this lateral change across is going to be a little difficult. So what we had to do as landscape architects is take a look at a typical cross-section of what that might look like. So there's three of them that we can look at typically. We can look at a sloped area, which is gentle in nature, landscaping and retaining walls. A little formal area that works quite well with the multiple tiering. And again, the wall concept that doesn't provide as much tiering but gives a more expansive plaza at the end. So after looking at these transition alternatives, we decided quickly to look at what's already out there, what parks have been designed. We noticed right away through the slope or stair or wall design photos that the slope photos really didn't give what staff asked for, the multi-tiered situation. It would be more park-like, but we wouldn't have the plaza transitions that we needed in here because it'd be taken up. In the wall transition, we noticed right away that we lose the tiering as soon as we're talking about. This is Ramona, and we really can't change that, so we have to stick with some kind of tiering or sloping down. So the first thing we decided to do is let's draw out a conceptual plan. These are hand sketches that we're doing here. We haven't really, you know, spent a lot of time and money. But we did put a cul-de-sac in. We did put a wall in. We looked at the existing walkway and that it was accessible. And then we also looked at connectivity between the two, East Station and the plaza. And you can see the size of this plaza. It's very expansive. We also noticed that, and this was conceptual, that if we did put trees in here, we would start dividing this. So in retrospect, we didn't think that this might have been the alternative that we'd want to present to you tonight. So here again, we're looking straight up 9th Street. This is south of Grand. And this is what we're looking at. This is your park entrance. And drawing it on the topo, we noticed right away that 9th Street is your front door. It is the entrance to your park. And in a like manner, if we put a cul-de-sac here, this becomes pedestrian use. And that means that this is the back door. So this fits in a park design scenario very nicely. And now, what should a front door look like? What should a front door to the city's major community park look like? Should it be primarily vehicular? Should it be no vehicles and just pedestrian? Or should it be a compromise of the two? It was really easy for us to decide as we went through this process. An anchor usually typically means vehicular to the sense that it's anchoring down into the city's consistent and existing uses. So we saw right away in either nearby or far away scenarios and photographs that you're going to have congestion on the weekends if you have a lot of vehicles going through your park, and this would be your front door, might not look as attractive. Alternately, if it was no parking and all pedestrian, you're probably going to have to do some large calming devices on Grand Avenue to achieve something like this. So this, to us, probably wasn't the best alternative. And then when we finally got to a compromise between wider sidewalks, parking, and landscape features, maybe even enough for a cafe, furniture, and so on, similar to... So then we drew up what we figured would be the best scenario to fit that front door, that compromise. And this seemed to be our best effort because not only did it answer staff's elements of concern with the upper cul-de-sac, the transition to a middle tier, which works really well with the future community center here and the library parking lot and the library, but also any expansion to that down above the East Station. And then again, the East Station works quite well with the lower tier, so it can just transverse really easily, minimal landscaping in here, and it just opens this up quite nicely with also an element down here for public gathering and additional landscaping that connects to the existing park. So this for us would be something we'd like you to consider as an alternative because it fits not only staff's recommendations but how we walked through the design process and the concept. So at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to Greg. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry and Alicia. I appreciate your help tonight. I'd like to just recap quickly the plan you see on the overhead and in your staff report tonight. It includes the cul-de-sac, which is connected to the parking lot from the library, which allows direct vehicular access to that existing parking lot. It includes an upper plaza area, upper terraced plaza area, which connects the library to the future community building, which is located on the west side of 9th there. It includes a large lower plaza, which can be used as a gathering area or for events, which connects the park directly to the exploration station. And it includes a landscape area to the east of that plaza area, which is mostly a transition, but could be used to create some other elements in the park. In your staff report this evening, and as well as I'll put on an overhead here, you see some plans prepared by GTA. These plans were a more detailed analysis of the options
for Lower 9th Street. They included options for parallel parking, perpendicular parking, and in this case, per council's direction, they go into more detail, such as including oversized vehicles shown in opposed parking spaces, and looking at some alternative widths and alternative. See this on the overhead.
That's good.
But as you can see, there are some oversized vehicles shown in this drawing. They're shown parked essentially across from each other so that you can get a look at how much lane might be available in a one-way scenario with a given street width. This one in particular, there's three attachments to your staff report. They include a width of 50, a one of 52, and as an alternative, a two-way option, which is considerably wider. Essentially, about a 50-foot street width from curb to curb would provide, within the available right-of-way on Lower 9th Street, the ability to have diagonal parking on both sides, one-way traffic, and oversized vehicles with a reasonable travel lane between those. So tonight, staff's recommendation would be to direct staff to move ahead with design plans for a street that basically includes these design elements with an approximate curb-to-curb width of 50 feet, and which would provide adequate room for both the travel lane and oversized vehicles. However, as mentioned earlier, in our design discussions of the park, we opened up the discussion somewhat to consider, as a park element, the connectivity between West Grand Avenue and the park. And that connectivity, in working with the landscape architect, became, as you saw earlier, this alternative recommendation. And we have that alternative recommendation included as part of your staff report tonight. That alternative recommendation discusses the option of actually widening the sidewalk somewhat and providing some landscape elements that would provide that visual transition from West Grand Avenue connecting you to this future part of the park. Staff has given you some information in the report here tonight for you to consider. Essentially, we would try to combine the best elements of these design drawings with that which Mr. Terry Lee has provided tonight for your consideration. And just to briefly recap those, that would be one-way traffic with diagonal parking. We see the best compromise to be diagonal parking on the west side and parallel parking on the east side of 9th Street. Within the available right-of-way, this would give us the option for sufficient lane widths and parking stalls. This is staff's recommended alternative, a recommended option, but as an alternative, staff is providing an opportunity for council to reconsider widened sidewalks and some additional landscape features with a similar concept to this. If approved tonight, the next step in this process would be to move forward in preparation of a formal landscape and streetscape plan, which would include the elements you've seen tonight, as well as your recommendation and direction on Lower 9th Street. We put that together into a overall landscape concept plan, which we could then further refine into civil engineering drawings and ultimately to construction drawings. But having that landscape overall concept plan in hand does provide staff and council with a vehicle to attract future funding for this project, and that's a key component of this. Currently, there's fairly limited funding the city has to move forward with construction on this, but we do see having this overall concept landscape plan in hand giving us an opportunity to go to the COG as well as possibly the CAPS office and other opportunities for funding and to start marketing this project for future grant funding. That concludes my presentation this evening. If council has additional questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay.
I have a question.
Councilmember Myers, hold on.
Yeah, okay.
start down there. Question. Right. Well, I don't want this to be a free fall. So.
No, I don't. My question, Mr. Ray, is that haven't seen on the overhead the alternative that does the part like setting up. As I understood what I thought you told the people at the East Station, there would be a parallel parking, sweeping, moving between Grand Avenue and Ramona, and we wouldn't have any drive-in parking. Now, do you have a slide that shows us how that works?
On this slide in particular, if you look at the lower portion of the slide, I'll try to catch that with a pointer.
Thank you.
You'll notice in this area on the drawing, it shows parallel parking. Alternative recommendation for Lower 9th Street. Between that time and the council meeting tonight, we did not have the opportunity to develop a full-scale drawing of that. But I think there's sufficient information on this slide, as well as in the landscape drawing options that Mr. Lee provided tonight, to see what that would look like. And I think if you look here, I know where I'm pointing with the pointer, it would be similar to what you're seeing here.
The whole street would be, not
the whole
just that
street. Right?
Oh, all right. So
if you take this section and project it to the north through the entire street,
okay,
that's more similar to what we're recommending as an alternative option. And by doing that, you have the opportunity to, in fact, have wider sidewalks and some landscape features included, such as the drawings showed in the earlier presentation.
And you're proposing the parallel parking on the east side of 9th Street to over where the businesses are, primarily to have access to the existing driveways and that sort of stuff, and have the sidewalk over by the bank, the wide sidewalk by the bank. Is that what I understand?
We would look for an opportunity to have wide sidewalks on both sides, yeah, as mm-hmm, to the extent possible. I think, we're getting into really finite design details. But the reason we considered the parallel parking on the east side was because of the conflicts that existed by trying to push diagonal parking up against those businesses where their doorways are already elevated, yes, slightly above sidewalk level. Okay. So our best recommendation in anticipating future design complications would be to reduce the impacts on the east side to the extent possible and put most of the impact on the west side near the bank.
Another couple of questions, just bear with me. If we decided on the west side to make it all parallel parking, get rid of the drive-in parking, would we lose, what, one space or two spaces? What's your best estimate there, the parking? How many parking spaces would we lose if we did that?
My recollection is that the diagonal parking at best gains one or two spaces. If we eliminated diagonal parking, we're talking about one or two spaces still. There's not a significant change in the number of parking spaces provided. I'd have to go back to the drive
through from almost that whole street, and we only lose two parking spaces. It seemed like it's a no-brainer to me that's what we do. Is that something you considered?
Don't hold me to the exact number, one or two, but
no,
it's in that ballpark.
I have comments on that. So
I don't have it counted here tonight,
yeah.
We're basically we hadn't previously considered, at least at staff level, we hadn't previously considered this alternative of creating this visual analysis between,
yes,
West Grand and the park. Once we start considering that, all of a sudden real estate becomes, the driving factor here. We need as much space as possible to provide, if that in fact is what council wants to consider, we would need as much space as possible to provide the widened sidewalk and to provide the landscape features. It's an alternative for council to consider tonight or, perhaps going on in the future. I think in the scenario you're looking at here, we would have to continue on with fairly narrow sidewalks. So,
well,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm
through with questions. I'll save my comments till later.
Sounds good. Thank you, Councilmember Peterson.
I have a few questions. So what you're proposing? I'm trying to get clear on the alternative you're proposing. You're saying a one-way street with parallel parking on both sides?
No, it would be pretty much exactly what you're seeing in the lower half, the southern portion of this drawing here. That would be in this area right here.
Okay, that goes all that extends all the way along.
But extending
diagonal
all the way
diagonal on one side and parallel on the other, and one-way street.
Yes.
Okay, and wide sidewalks. Did you take a look at what the zoning is of the businesses on, I guess it's the east side? I think the business, it would appear that all the businesses in there are commercial services. There are a couple of accountants and then I think one or two empty buildings, but most of the businesses that aren't on Grand Avenue I think has one or two restaurants, but in there they all appear to be commercial services. And I agree that a little coffee shop or some kind of little restaurant there would be perfect. But I didn't know if that's something that we're zoned for or how difficult it would be to find. And I think it's a good thing to look at. And I'm thinking the wider sidewalks work really well, too, when we've got our big festivals and fairs and we need a little more space to do things and we don't have to be doing it in the street. So it makes sense. I just wondered about that. And I wondered, too, if you'd I suppose it's early days, but if anyone had talked with the actual property owner there, because he's developed a lot of successful, similar-type developments locally, and he may have some really helpful input as to how that might all work, too.
Personally, no. There's been discussion, I believe, at the staff with other staff members prior to my joining the city here, with regard to a number of the park elements. My personal involvement with the public has been primarily with the E-Station and the library.
Which is great,
Mostly focused on the concepts of the park and how those existing and future park components might tie together.
Okay, and I had a question about handicap access. I noticed that there's some new accessibility ramps there, and I wondered, it looked to me like there were already ramps there. I drove by today, and so I wasn't sure why we were showing new accessibility ramps there.
When you say there in particular, what area are you referring to?
Down at the bottom, going into the parking lot there.
Oh. Yeah, there are existing accessibility ramps there. In looking at those, they're appear not to be 100% compliant with current ADA requirements. So, you know, part of the process of considering the alternatives and direction that staff previously gave was to go a little bit further into what the site constraints might be. The note you see on the drawing on the overhead here was a result of that design development process to look at some of the existing constraints. GTA actually prepared these plans. They did prepare cross sections at numerous locations, as well as photographs along the frontage of the businesses here, to look at what the impacts of various street widths and widening the sidewalk on one side versus the other might be. And the primary conflicts would appear to be with the businesses right here on the northeast portion of the street.
So, I have a little more understanding of what it is, but I'm not quite sure what purpose those four spaces serve or who they serve, because they're not accessing any business conveniently.
I think I clearly understand your question. Those are not handicapped parking spaces.
Okay.
That's ADA compliant ramps leading into this driveway that
with
you
the
see
sidewalks.
On the picture. Okay. Yeah, they're basically sidewalk ramps.
Okay.
The ADA compliant parking would be provided on site.
Okay.
As is required.
That leads to my next question, and I love the idea of the stairs, and I think it's a classical solution. My only question is, I want to make sure that the elderly
can get to the library, that the elderly can get to. The East Station's not as important, but I went to the East Station, and the handicap parking's clear, the farthest possible parking from the door. So I don't think on my crutches I could get into the East Station right now. And so, you know, I'm seeing things like that. And so I want to make sure that I can't go right now. I can't go to anything at Ramona Park because I can't get around on my crutches at Ramona Park. So I want to make sure that elderly people or people who have trouble walking can actually access this beautiful thing. And I just wondered how they're going to get to the library, especially places like the library and the community center that's going to be built there.
And I think that's a key component of a staff's recommendation as far as the park concept plan goes. If you recall during Mr. Lee's presentation, he talked about the lateral connectivity between various elements in this area. And we have roughly a 10-foot grade separation. And in order to achieve what staff feels is the most useful and accessible use of the land, this cul-de-sac would extend to the existing parking lot where there is parking available for the park. Mm-hmm. If for connectivity between the library and this potential future community building, that would all be on the same level. So there would be on-street parking as well as this parking lot shown in the overhead here that would be essentially on the same level, and you would have direct sidewalk access between these two uses, this library, the parking lot, and the future community building.
Thank you.
And similar, if you've noticed throughout the park, there's this accessible walkway shown. That also can lead you from the upper park area, which does have accessible features currently, down to this lower plaza area. And for this degree of detail, I think that's the kind of thing we would consider as we moved from an architect's sort of a landscape overall concept plan to detailed civil drawings. We would look at opportunities to enhance the multi-use transit center as well as you know, opportunities to enhance other features that are already exist in the park.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, any questions?
I think, well, first question I have is on the amphitheater. Right behind the amphitheater, we have almost a natural amphitheater in existence. Yeah, right in that area there. Why would we put another amphitheater or even consider putting one in the area where you have designated one?
I think that's a good question. Going back to the vertical transition between now what is the cul-de-sac on 9th Street and this lower area, lower plaza area in Ramona, in order to have an accessible walkway along the front of the library that you see in this drawing, in order to make that grade separation and transition along that walkway down to the park level, you need to have some kind of feature there. Now, is that an amphitheater necessarily? No, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be an amphitheater. I think what we're trying to show instead of a specific design element here is that something has to be done in that area, and it's going to be some sort of a landscape or architectural feature in the park. And this is Mr. Lee's, you know, kind of first look at what kinds of things could go in there. You're seeing basically three circular areas shown here. And, you know, there's some landscaping shown, potentially some turf. An amphitheater is an option in there, but again, you know, if you'd like us to focus on the existing potential amphitheater area as opposed to this, we can take that direction tonight, and as we move forward with the project, we would, you know.
Okay, that's fine. I just thought maybe somebody had an idea of thinking that we ought to have one there and had overlooked the existing natural. Okay. I don't know, I'll save my comments on the 9th Street parking problem.
Okay, you don't have any questions on that. Okay.
Several of the original concept drawings did show an alternative for a bike lane. It was combined with parallel parking in a couple of exhibits that council saw back in December, I believe. Um, looking at the amount of space required for a bike lane and looking at what we're trying to achieve, I think, as an overall concept here for this area, in getting that connectivity and getting, you know, a compromise between parking and pedestrian uses, a single block one-way bike lane wherein bicyclists would be interacting between perpendicular or parallel parked cars and pedestrians doesn't seem like the best use of the of that section of property. We're talking about a very limited amount of real estate in there, and I'm not sure that it would be the best idea to try to mix bikes in with that. It's a block. I mean, if they can bike to that point, walking a block, or even getting off their bikes and enjoying some of the amenities for that single block between there and the park, might be a better use of that property. And there are bike lanes leading to the park from other streets, as well as bike parking facilities.
So are you saying that you don't think that bike lanes are appropriate where there is where there's diagonal parking, or just not appropriate in this area?
From my experience, traffic engineers recommend against putting a bike lane behind perpendicular parking unless there's an expansive amount of space to do so.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. All really good questions. I've got maybe five. And the concept that was put together, was there any consideration of the impacts to the existing infrastructure, sidewalks, storm drains, and any other pertinent structures? Because, I mean, I like the concept of stepping down, but is that something that you would do later if there was direction to move forward on this?
If I understand your question correctly, did we consider on the various concepts, what impact that would have on existing utilities?
Yes,
yes, absolutely. There's an existing storm drain. In looking at the city's overall storm drain concept, unfortunately for us in the development of this park, the stormwater travels in the storm drain system to West Grand and then bubbles up on West Grand.
Okay.
It's not significantly different than what you have now, but there'd be a cost. Also, the water line would have to be transitioned down. There's a cost associated with that. The sewer would have to be transitioned down that interchange between the 10 feet, the upper and lower areas of what used to be 9th Street, if we move forward with this.
Okay. And 9th Street already slopes down. What's the slope on 9th Street? We're talking 10 feet, but there is a gradual slope on the street, existing street right now, correct?
In the neighborhood of 5%.
Okay. I wanted to ask the question of how does this concept interface with the existing bus parking? And I had written the amphitheater, but the mayor pro tem asked that question, so. Would we be leaving the existing sidewalk and the existing facilities there? And looks like there's a new sidewalk that actually would come up to the south side of the library.
If I understand your question correctly, there's an existing sidewalk that leads from the corner of 9th and Ramona and arcs across the park and lands about in that area up there. To the extent possible, parts of that would be left in place, but no, we are proposing a new walkway, and it would take into account some of the site features that would be approved.
Okay.
Or the direction we would receive from council tonight.
And as I'm sure members on this council recall, we had this discussion about that cul-de-sac up there and not wanting to design something that is a ode to the trash trucks. Was there any consideration of looking at maybe making that smaller or some other treatments to it?
I think you have two options. The option that we're recommending is to provide the smallest cul-de-sac that's possible for, and still have opportunity to turn vehicles around in it. So
you mean turn trucks around?
Turn trucks around, okay. Right? I mean, you can recommend against trucks moving down there. You can even sign against them moving down there. But ultimately, if a truck were to go down to the cul-de-sac, they need about a 40-foot radius to be able to turn around. Now, we could potentially create a larger cul-de-sac and incorporate something in the middle, a landscape feature or something like that. But
right now, I think in our recommendation, our focus is more on how much park can we get and how many park features we can get, and trying to reduce the impact of the cul-de-sac on the area.
Feathering the land back up or any concepts like that?
If I can answer that question, we didn't bring that up. It's one of the design elements that Terry and Alicia considered. We took our direction in that area, and specifically related to the specific plan, and it didn't show dealing with that wall. I mean, it's something we could consider if you'd like us to take a look at it.
Okay.
Right now, I think the option we're recommending is to keep the wall between the two properties and to try to deal with that transition through this terracing and stairway concept.
Okay. I'm going to hold the fifth actually ends up being a question, so, or a comment. So, anyway, good questions, everyone. And
I just have one more question, if I could.
Sure.
As I see the park diagram, the upper terrace, that makes upper terrace space between the lower stairs and the cul-de-sac, that connects directly to the future community building that we're designated on the plan, correct?
That is
the intent. That's all the same level. So somebody handicapped or whatever can actually go from down at the bottom off of Ramona Street and walk up to the upper terrace. And then the upper terrace, you got one level throughout what we're showing as potentially developable at the moment.
So if I could answer that real quickly.
Yes.
The concept definitely takes into consideration.
You need a mic.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Let me just get up here and
yeah.
Just do that. Concept takes into consideration in every aspect of connectivity accessibility.
Yes.
So to be a little more specific, when we actually drew this out, we find ourselves at one level here and continue on to another level here and then pick up our descent here. So keep in mind, this isn't the design, this is the concept, that the stair would start at this point. Whatever, and Greg's been doing this all night, whatever it works out through real grade changes, through real steps, through real accessibility routes, will follow a similar pattern. But to answer your question, most definitely one of the elements of concern and design will be this accessibility all the way up to here.
Okay, along the same line, pedestrians coming in from the top of the diagram into the cul-de-sac off of Brighton, I guess, could walk right into the community building, could walk right into the library, and could walk right into that plaza without having to transition through stairways. Is that correct? Or without stairs from people coming in on 9th Street, correct?
Mm-hmm. The way that we see it working is this is where the transition between these two are. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in a like manner, this is the transition between where these two are. So if that makes sense, we're taking into consideration two transition areas from the lower area and from the upper area to this accessible
point. So once you enter the upper terrace, to get to the very top of the upper terrace into, say, the parking lot, that would be a step transition?
Not in here, no, sir.
What about to the community building on the left?
From that upper plaza to the...
This is all accessible right here. This is the future community building.
No, what he's asking about, Terry, is from the upper plaza to the parcel just north of the East Station.
Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
No, that is a wall. At this point, that's a wall.
But when the terrace goes in, would that be a wall or not?
It's a design consideration to be a wall or a slope, as the mayor was mentioning early, that we could feather this in. But this is a change in elevation right
so there. You'd have to make a gradual change there if you didn't have a wall.
And there's also a consideration that you could make an accessible walk this way. There's not that much of a change that you couldn't address that.
Okay. All right. So if you got the space, and we have a... 50 by 150 space to work with, so we could
probably
do something.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. This is a regular business item, and I do see a few people out in the audience, so I'm going to open this up and see if anyone would like to address this item tonight. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. And I know we've got a lot of comments here, so how about why don't you start with comments on the concept and then comments on 9th Street? So, Mayor Pro Tem, you've been very patient. You want to start?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've already made my comments on the cul-de-sac development there. It's a very rough diagram. I think we're okay there. I'm not going to worry about that at the moment. I'd like to go to 9th Street. I would like to see 9th Street between Grand Avenue and Ramona be one way, and I would like to have wide sidewalks, and I would like to have, if there's any parking allowed at all, I would like to have parallel parking the entire width, it looked like, with just parallel parking. Again, if we could consider not having any parking at all, we could have access to the two parking lots. There is the parking lot east, and behind the bank on the west, there's a parking lot there. There's some, has been some talk in the past of working with the bank and maybe creating a parking structure on that property, which would provide more than enough and ample parking, provide ample parking. I would like to see us either limit it to parallel parking or eliminate parking altogether and make this truly a pedestrian-friendly gateway into Ramona Garden Park.
Okay. Short and sweet and to the point.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
Is that what you're saying? Councilmember Myers, why don't you?
Well, I don't have much to say after okay. Mr. Nichols said what he said.
So you do agree with him?
I agree 100% with what he says to the point if I would favor having no parking, but I wasn't sure anybody would agree with me.
Okay.
But actually, I got one convert to my way of thinking anyhow. Because if we miss this opportunity to create a big, beautiful gateway from Grand Avenue into Ramona Park, we'll never do it again. And people that come after us will wonder why we didn't do it right the first time. So I think we should make that street as pedestrian, walking, beautiful as we possibly can.
And does that include trees?
We can have trees as long as they don't shade my head. So. Trees are okay if it doesn't tie up the sidewalks and doesn't shade my head. How about that?
Even if we have to trim them.
Even if we have to trim them, all right.
That's an inside.
okay. So I would like to see no cars. We have to build a structure. We could in the future, but we won't have a chance to do this again. We are to do it right, and that means a completely pedestrian-friendly parkway entry from Grand Avenue into Ramona. And if we don't do it, our descendants are going to hate us forever.
Councilmember Bright.
Well, that's quite a revelation to me. I think it's a marvelous concept. I just don't know that it's practical.
One or two here. There's only room for one or two, maybe four. One, two, three, four, five, four. Then we probably need to have some parking. If you've got a Starbucks, you need to park. You need parking in front of it. So we probably need some diagonal parking there, but I don't know if we have diagonal parking there, if that precludes the wide sidewalks. So, and we don't even know if it's zoned for that, although that can probably be addressed. So I'm kind of two minds here. I do agree that it needs to be a grand entrance. And, yeah.
Well, how about I give everyone something to chew?
Okay, let's chew some more.
Okay, we've successfully completed phases one and two of Ramona Park-specific plan going back many years. And after completing phases one and two, there were funds that were left over. The Slocog Board estimated $300,000. City manager confirmed it's closer to $100,000. somebody's off in their county. And the original idea was to try and go through this, to do a concept, to get a plan, to be ready so that if there were funds available, we would be first in line. Now, that said, it looks like there is not money to do this now, and I'm not even sure how far in the foreseeable future. So, timing was initially critical. It's no longer critical. So what I would suggest is we not move forward on any concept at all. The cul-de-sac on the parking on 9th. I think there's some great comments that have been made here, but the issue of practicality of eliminating the parking, and I agree with where the Mayor Pro Tem was going. I think there are some opportunities here for making up parking, but we have to investigate those further. But you're really talking on the west side of 9th between Ramona and Grand, Rabobank, one big bank and one huge parking lot. And then on the other side, there are some limitations. And if we are going down this road of possibly talking about no parking, we need to engage property owners,
yes, we do,
business owners, and the community. Mm-hmm. Much to my
good point.
I like I said, the original intent was to try and move this forward so that we could go after funding that seemed to be, we were very successful on West Grand Avenue. We were extremely successful because staff had brought where that is as well. So I would just say that, you know, we need to huddle with staff a little more,
yes,
see what that process looks like. I do have a belief that once we get further in the process that there is some value to having a city council subcommittee, which we've done very effectively with the housing element and with the branding and some of those other things. And so if we get to that point before Councilmember Myers
disappears,
I think he would be a good member of that subcommittee.
I'd be happy to volunteer to be part of it if somebody would point
so out. I guess tonight what I'm advocating is that we put this project on hold and then we just ask some direction. Maybe they can coordinate with myself or come back with the council and say, here's a process to get more public input and let's mm-hmm. take a look at, because I think if the criteria to look at changes on the East Station property and the future, hopefully, senior center were given to Mr. Lee and Elisa, they probably would have done things slightly differently. So I think that's kind of where what makes the most sense tonight.
Is it too early to create a subcommittee to work with?
My inclination is it is would be too early, especially if we're talking about going out and vetting this fully with input from the public. But, you know, you guys weigh in here. I don't know.
Well, I'm just wondering, would it make any sense at all? To me, it does, to take this one step further and try to get some better conceptual plans on both of these so we have somebody in the bank to work from when and if the council gets ready to move forward later on. We've got to move on phase three sometimes.
Well, my fear is that we've already spent money. I don't want to spend more money without having a little more focus and a little more input. If we're really creating a legacy project, the community should be involved in this, and let's do it right. The other thing is the pedestrian concepts that have been given here, if we're really talking about no parking or only parallel parking with wider sidewalks, really what's the real value add? You know, we're going to spend more money to widen sidewalks and continue to have the same parking that we have now. To me, I understand wider sidewalks and more landscaping, but in these tough economic times, does it even make sense? So if that is where the council, the majority, wants to go, I would prefer to leave 9th Street alone. I think Mr. Lee and Lisa have aptly pointed out there's an opportunity here on 9th Street. And so we can do not only the area, the plaza and the park extension, but we also bring it down on 9th Street and let's take a look at it all together. Because tonight we're sitting here having a discussion about one, and then we turn our attention and have a discussion on the other. And what they're saying to us that there's this interplay between the two. And I think I fear that if we continue down this road, we're going to spend more money, and what ultimately comes out of it is something that I'm not sure we would all be happy with, and I'm not sure where the community is on this, especially the business owners on the east side of 9th Street, because there is an accountant. I thought there used to be as a dentist. I believe there have been a few that have gone away. On the other side, you've got a parking lot. When we do Stone Soup, we put the booths down 9th Street, so anything we do will impact that as well. So, you know, I just want to make sure that we get input from all the stakeholders at this point.
How are we going to get that input if we don't have anything working?
Well, I think where we get that input is I know that Mr. Lee and Alicia have done some work. I think there are some other things that should be considered in some of that initial concept. I'm not sure. They've probably used their budget up at this point. So, you know, this has taken so long to get to this point that if we give them some additional information to consider, and I think there have been a lot of comments here tonight that would be beneficial in going forward and looking at the concept. So that's going to be some discussion of, do you take a clean slate to the public and get input, or say, after looking at these constraints with these criteria, here are some alternatives, how would you tweak it? I mean, there are various ways to do it. I just don't know what the best way is to do that tonight.
Mayor, can I comment briefly?
Yes.
You know, the process to get the landscape architect concepts that you see before you tonight was very cost effective. Mr. Lee has been a real good partner with staff here to try to get something back to you with extremely limited funds. I think we could be equally cost effective.
Listen to the discussion. I really believe that the subcommittee might be of value to work with staff. I would suggest that the direction that be given is that we return at the next meeting with the item to appoint the subcommittee and a work plan, at least, that will take into account some of your comments. But before we really begin on that work plan, I would like to have that subcommittee appointed so that we can approach this as a team effort.
Great. That's a really good suggestion, Mr. City Manager. Okay.
So I'd like to make a nomination.
What's that?
Can I nominate the two members for the subcommittee?
Well, we would have to do that at the next meeting.
Oh,
correct.
Okay. I misunderstood.
But you could.
I'll do it next time.
Well, let me
whisper your nomination.
That's against the law.
Okay.
I'd like to make one more observation.
Sure.
I don't see that going ahead with Ramona Pacific Plan Park is necessarily tied to doing something between Ramona and Grand Avenue on 9th Street. Phase three of the Ramona Park, I think, could go ahead with the design, and so we know what we got to work with, and we get ready for federal funding when and if it comes. And we can always do 9th Street to match what's at the park once we get the park in place or have the concept in place. So I don't personally want to shelve the park part, and I'd like to see that go forward. And as Mr. Ray said, with limited funding and with and just with extreme caution on how much we put into it, but at least come back with something for our efforts and what we've done so far.
Well, I think that's the dynamic here.
We had
substantial discussion on 9th Street, and so the extras have come in and said it's difficult to do one without the other because one's the front door. You heard them use that expression. Well, we're not talking about delaying this for 2 years. We're talking about coming back at the next meeting in September, subcommittee, and then a work plan, which means that you can build on what's there now or choose to go in a different direction. That's kind of the thought process.
I just wanted to voice my concern that we don't lose the whole kitten because the tail got cut off.
Well, I agree, but I think since we have time, we should do it right.
All right.
Okay, we have consensus. Thank you, Terry and Alicia.
Good job, anyways. What you did. It was good ideas.
Okay, let's move on to item number 14. And City Manager, are you covering this item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It's a rather brief report. As the council will recall, the council authorized the cancellation of a couple of meetings at the last council meeting. This included the meeting of August 2nd and August 16th. and also involved the cancellation of the meeting that it would have normally followed right after September's Labor Day holiday, and would have been September 7th. The council did set, as you know, a regular meeting for tonight, a special meeting for tonight, and also left the second meeting in September set for September 20th. After the meeting, it was brought to the staff's attention that if you do not have another meeting working session until September 20th, that's essentially 6 weeks between meetings. Staff is suggesting that it might be more appropriate to shorten that up a bit and move the September 20th meeting to September 13th. And so consequently, that's staff's recommendation. Obviously, you can consider any other kind of schedule changes that you might desire.
Okay, thank you, City Manager. How about some questions or comments? Mayor Pro Tem.
The only comment I would make is that I think having it on September the 13th is a much better idea. There are several of us that will be out of town the end of that week. If we had the meeting on the 20th, we don't get back into town until probably Sunday the 19th, and that doesn't give us time to really go over the agenda and the entire matter. On the 13th, there's not quite such a long time in between meetings, and it gives us adequate time to prepare for the meeting. So I like the idea of having it on the 13th.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So then are you suggesting that we do it on the 13th and cancel the 20th?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay. I just have a brief comment. I won't be.
That's just the direction and. Okay. Someone make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we cancel the meeting scheduled for Monday, September 20th, and set a special meeting for Monday, September 13th.
I'll second it.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None? Great. Motion carries. Okay. So I believe we had pulled item number 3 and put it to after this item. So... is that the city attorney's?
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, council members. Thank you for moving this item. Now that we have the September 13th date as the date for the next council meeting, staff would request that on this particular item, which deals with an amendment to the municipal code and ordinance, which would introduce Chapter 6 into Article 2 dealing with how we protect and use the city symbols, the flag, the letterhead, the seal, be moved to that item, to that evening. In order to accomplish that, staff recommends that the public meeting, which has been noticed for tonight, be actually opened, that no testimony is taken, and by motion, it'll be continued to September 13th at 6:30 or us. Soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions of staff?
No
comment.
Someone make a motion to the effect?
So moved.
Well, let me open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this item? Okay. Seeing that, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council.
I move that we continue this item until our next meeting in September.
September 13th, and I'll second that.
Okay, so September 13th.
And the public hearing will be continued to that date and will not be re-noticed. So the public hearing on this item has been, if the motion passes, will be moved to September 13th in Council Chambers at 6:30 p.m.
That's exactly what I said.
Very good.
And I'd like to compliment you on that very much so, really.
You did very good.
All right, so there's a motion.
Thinking about our funding, truly, I mean.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Important, so I appreciate it.
In these day and times, it's really important. Okay, so there is a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, City Attorney. Okay, we've covered all of our pool consent items. Council committee reports.
Well,
Council Member Meyer.
It's been a hiatus and won't have another one until September 8th. The reason I'm bringing this up right now is I'll be gone that week, September the 8th, the same reason I'll be gone on the 13th. Mr. Nichols is the alternate for that. Bill, I just want you to note that the 8th is the next Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. It's usually held at the Supervisor's Chambers in SLO at 1:30. I don't know whether they change it. They change it sometimes. So, but you're up, okay?
Are you the alternate on all the committees?
It seems that way, yeah. That's what this says here. So I guess he is. Skip down then to Zone 3. I'm on that as well. They meet. They'll meet on September the 16th next. I'm in an airplane coming back from Colorado on the 16th, so Debbie is going to have to handle that one. And they meet, Debbie, on the third Thursday at 6 p.m. They meet in various places. You'll have to get a hold of somebody and find out where they're going to meet. I don't have my packet yet. So that bookkeeping is out of the way.
Was that Zone 3 or?
That's Zone 3, Zone 3, yeah. You can find Gehring, you can ask him. He always keeps track of when those things are. But I can report. I don't report on the Integrated Waste Management since there's been nothing happened since I last reported. On the Water Resource Advisory Committee, it did not meet in August, but it had met on the months before, and we'll meet in September, and I'll just give you a brief report on that so somebody the committee or the council might like to know about. Two ongoing major activities that the Water Resource Advisory Committee is doing is dealing with staff on the Master Water Plan, which is in the process of being amended. It's still a work in process, and the comments of the RAC has been submitted on the draft to the Board of Supervisors. The next workshop will come up in October this year with expectation of adoption in 2011 sometimes. As we've learned, we still have no mussels in our water in the Lopez or in the Margarita Lake, so we're doing that well. What else would you like to know that's of interest in water? That's about all I can think that this group might really want to know about what's been happening in RAC. There's other things, but they're all in draft form and really nothing to report on. Zone 3, the good news coming out of Zone 3 is that the county has created a plan efficiency assessment review, which is just coming out, and it's a fairly extensive. It tells exactly what they're doing to create efficiency. And the reports that we get in the last two or three meetings is that the problems at the filtration treatment plant have all been mostly resolved. All the bad problems that were costing a lot of money and a lot of extra staff has gone away, and they're back to just the normal staffing now, which means that the costs are coming down. The costs are coming down on all this repairing and replacing of equipment that didn't function, so we can expect our water bills to go down from that standpoint in the near future. And it seems that, in my judgment, that staff is doing, county staff is doing a fair job. The other thing that we're concerned is that the habitation conservation plan for dam and for the water below the dam appears to have stabilized, and we're in a position where I think for the get through this year, that plan may be accepted by the National Fisheries Association, and if so, that bleeding, which has been amounting to millions of dollars, will hopefully stop. I mean, a year, $10 million by last count I had. So, and the other nice part about where the National Fisheries is that they tell us that once we get that done, our liability, meaning we as conservative, as consumers down here, will end at the dam, and just in what, and we're not going to get tied up in all the things that has to be done to protect the fish coming up the creek. Remember, this is all started because of the propagating. But we're not going to have to deal with that. They're going to then look to the farmers and the people that got bridges and the people that got impediments to correct it. One good piece of news is that Zone 1A, which is the zone out behind us up in the hills, mostly agricultural land, has stepped forward in their funding through, I don't know, grants and whatever. The channel from the last water gauge clear out to the ocean, and that those plans are drawn, they're approved, and National Fishes has signed off on them as being adequate to protect the fish, and they're meandering. They're not going to be a trough that's dumping out to the ocean. It'll be natural looking. It'll run at the right speed, and hopefully the poor little fishes can get up and do their thing, and we'll all have fish to eat some days. Anyway, that's about my report on that.
Very good.
You want some real details, but you don't want to hear them. I couldn't tell them tonight anyway.
No, that's X-rated.
They're X-rated, yes.
Sounds good. And one thing I will add on to that, I know that there is a pending meeting between representatives for Zone 3, which is yourself, and representatives from Arroyo Grande and I believe Pismo Beach, will be meeting with the city managers, the mayors, and public works directors to discuss the role with Zone 3. We had to deal with the water rates, and a large portion of that was because of the operation and maintenance of Lopez, and so we wanted to have a discussion with our representatives, making sure that information is getting to them, and then we are going to be exploring possible ways for those of us, the cities that pay the bill, to have a bigger say in how the plan is operating.
Yeah, so that's the 26th, I understand it.
Okay.
One thing that I think you probably understand, and maybe the public doesn't understand, there is a tech advisory committee made up of these smart water people and technicians from all of the consumers at the Lake Lopez that actually oversee, in a sense, what the county is doing and try to approve or disapprove if they can. So we're not without some protection, or haven't been without total protection yet.
Yeah, and just not to belabor this because I want to get to everyone else, but the idea really is that was discussed was after going through, and I think all of us ended up having to adjust rates. I know Roy Grandy did, and we did, to be able to say, that's it. There's no more money. This is your budget.
Go to the Central Coast website and get your local tickets. I think they're $10 off. And so our marketing firm's been up there. They've been taking a look at what they can do for us up there, and we should be getting some things back soon. Be able to do some good things to promote Grover Beach and get people down here to do their business down here. And that's about it.
Okay, very good. Mayor Pro Tem, you have anything you want to report tonight?
I think I mentioned the Sanitation District. John Wallace put together a trip to Monterey. Yeah, we toured the facility in Monterey, which is about six times the capacity of our facility. And the primary reason was to take a look at how they handle recycled water, and it's used for farming industry and has been for a number of years. In addition to myself, Tony Ferrara, who is on the board, Mayor of Arroyo Grande, the city manager from Arroyo Grande. We also took two engineers from the Wallace Group that work with water recycling projects, and also three farmers, including Akita, who happens to be, I think, the current president of the Agricultural Association, whatever large organization that is. Purpose being to see what their opinion was on using recycled wastewater in the agricultural industry. And we visited three different facilities, farms, in the Monterey area that are using recycled water for irrigation on the fresh vegetables, those vegetables that are eaten raw. It was a very beneficial trip, very worthwhile. I think the farming, the agricultural industry is very impressed with the use of recycled water. It's something that is going to have to come sooner or later. And the purpose was to find out, to get a feeling from the agricultural industry in this area that so far has kind of been against the use of recycled water. They don't feel comfortable with it. It would take a third level of purification, the tertiary treatment, and it would be expensive, and the agricultural industry obviously would be asked to participate in that cost. We don't know what that could be yet, but we do know that would exist. And I think that's one of the reasons that the agricultural industry has chose to not line the homeless, the nonprofits, the religious groups that are interested in the homeless situation. It is, in fact, going to be considered a dry run of the presentation that will be made before the San Luis Obispo Foundation, which is the organization that controls the $1.5 million that we want to use in establishing the one-stop facility for the homeless population in the South County. So I'll have more information on that. Well, let's see, August, September 1. Well, information will be distributed as soon as that is confirmed in location and place and time.
Very good. Councilmember Bryant.
Yes. The Air Pollution Control District had a meeting. After extensive public testimony, we approved going forward with an MOA between the state, and that went before the county supervisors, and they approved that as well. So that is moving forward. There was an EVC meeting as well that was held the same day, however, in Paso Robles. And so, because I...
You didn't make it.
Okay. I did not make it. So
the MOU between APCD and State Parks, that's to try the mitigation measures for the dust?
Right. It's actually, it will establish a TAC team.
Oh.
And they, in turn, will report to a management team. And so they'll have specialists that will that'll be working on those mitigation measures.
Very good.
They're trying. What they're really after is to get some test measures on the ground by March.
Okay. So please keep us informed.
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'll quickly go through my reports. Did have a San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and a Regional Transit Authority meeting on August 4th. And not really a lot under the Regional Transit Authority. It was really more personnel matters. But with respect to Council of Governments, it was a pretty packed agenda. And just to highlight some of the items that were covered that certainly will have an effect on Grover Beach, we did take a look at the California Air Resources Board draft regional greenhouse gas targets for San Luis Obispo, which are mandated by SB 370. I will get you all a copy of that so you have the particulars on it. The other thing that was considered was the 2010 SLOCOG Regional Transportation Plan, which included a preliminary sustainable community strategy. And this goes hand in hand where the county's been talking about trying to preserve open space and ag land and trying to encourage development in the urbanized areas, not necessarily the incorporated cities, but we know we're part of that discussion. The initial plan does, in fact, respect our general plan. So no immediate impact on us from that standpoint. But as you go forward, we probably will want to be vigilant on that, because if there is some discussion regarding increasing densities and doing things of that nature, we'll want to make sure that we have input. And I know that they've been working with city staff on that. So I also will try and get you a copy of that. Not that you all don't have enough reading to do. Sorry. and then finally, and I know the Mayor Pro Tem attended the South County Area Transit meeting for me. We did take a look at the South County Transit Plan. There was an update. And I'll give you a much more detailed report on that the next time that we have a meeting. I do want to say that as part of the 2000, oh, this is part of SLOCOG. The 2011 Regional Transportation Plan includes a project for Grand Avenue enhancements from 4th to 9th Street. It includes, it looks like previously there was about $68,000 spent on engineering, and now there is $582,000 for construction in the fiscal year, in fiscal year 11 and 12. So that's the one project that they have programmed that would allow us to continue making improvements along Grand Avenue corridor.
Cool beans.
So, and I wanted to kind of tag onto that and ask the, I think the, as we talked about earlier, from Ramona phases 1 and 2, there were some funds that are left over, and I think we are going to have to brainstorm with city staff that if a project is not forthcoming or anytime soon, we certainly don't want to lose those funds, and maybe there's some discussion that we can have as the SLOCOG board delegate with the SLOCOG staff to see if we couldn't roll that money into improvements on Grand Avenue. So then we might be able to. City Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you recall, or as you know, the League California Cities meeting is going to be held on September 15th through 17th. Now is the, I believe there's a memo on the selection of delegates to the conference. Now is the appropriate time to select the individual that will represent the city as well as the alternate. Typically in the past, it has been the mayor, and in the past, also the mayor pro tem is, has attended as an alternate.
Okay. Who is planning on attending the annual conference this year?
You are?
And me? No?
There we have it.
So we ought to make the mayor pro tem the voting delegate, though.
You can read all that stuff.
I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready.
Make a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion that that our voting delegate be our honorable mayor. You can pay me later.
Yes.
Mayor pro tem. And and that the alternate be our mayor pro tem.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any other nominations? Okay. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, how about some council communications? Councilmember Pryke, do you have anything?
I do not. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichol?
I do not.
No.
Councilmember Peterson?
No.
No.
Councilmember Myers?
No.
Okay, I do have one thing, and I wanted to bring up an item that, first of all, let me just say, I think staff's done a really good job given the circumstances on the West Grand Avenue streetscape project. And so I think, as Mr. Ray said earlier, we've done the best we can. We had something, obviously some elements that couldn't be controlled. I know that there were some allowances and exceptions in trying to work with the business owners down there for the 4th of July weekend and some of the other weekends, and then even it's even gone as far as trying to offer some assistance, even though it's small. I think it's meant a lot, and so we'll continue to do that. Bringing South 4th Street forward today after many years, I think is really good. Where I'm going with this is, and I don't want to be all negative, but the project on Long Branch, now we're talking about potential construction projects when school is in session, because the schools actually start on Monday. And so if you think we got criticism and concerns back from the West Grand Avenue, try putting dozers in front of schools with people and their children. So I'm very concerned about that. And so I was hoping that we can talk about the timing on the Grover Heights project, and I guess we can have a subsequent report on Long Branch, because that's not imminent tonight. So City Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we recognized obviously that the best time to do the project would be when the school is not in session. Unfortunately, given the time it took to complete the design, get the project out to bid, obviously we missed that window. As I understand it, and Mr. Ray, you can amplify, we will very soon be meeting with both the school as well as the contractor to see what we can do in terms of implementing the construction in such a way to minimize the impacts to the school. Is that correct?
Okay. So when you say the school, you're talking to principal or you're talking parents?
Principal.
Okay. Well, I hope there's an outreach because I was over there the other day, today and yesterday, and the sidewalk, some of the work is right by a playground. So please proceed with caution. And I understand the timing. I just want to make sure that we think about these things in the future.
There will also, you're correct, there will also be a need for a pre-construction meeting that will involve the entire neighborhood in the affected areas.
Okay. And then hopefully you'll bring Long Branch.
Long Branch will come back.
Not the design, just the timing. Right. So we can talk about timing because I suspect that there may be an opportunity to do some other streets and then maybe do that project at a later date. And I think that with any leftover funds from South 4th Street could be used to do some other streets in the community. And so not only that discussion, but maybe the next list of streets we were considering coming back in, let's say, September or, I guess, October, maybe first part of October. Is everyone okay with that?
We have a consensus on that?
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Am I losing you down there?
No.
Working on the premise that with the furlough implementation and the goal and City Hall closure, the goal is to save $185,000 in the general fund. We were able to implement the first furlough that occurred just a couple weeks ago, as I recall. July 30th, that's correct. And the next furlough date will be August 20th, followed by September 3rd. And just so everyone is aware, those dates do fluctuate a bit according to our schedule. We do try and keep them as close to the first or second Friday of the month as possible. The closure means that all city facilities are closed to the general public. That means that all field work is also suspended for those days. I should want to indicate that that does not affect in any way safety services or safety response. Those are still on board and available to service the community. There may from time to time be some interruption at the closure of the door at the police department that from time to time that mm-hmm. may coincide with a furlough day, but people are instructed to use the phones and people are in house. It's just takes a little bit longer to get them to the front door.
Okay. So, Bob, you talked about the dates fluctuating a little bit, you know, not like we could say the first Friday of every month. So, the dates will be posted and
yes,
put on the website as well.
The dates are posted. I believe they're posted on the website currently. They're also on the front door of City Hall.
Okay.
And all of the press releases have been accurately reported, and they have appeared in the newspapers, and will continue to do releases from time to time to remind the general public that the offices are closed.
Okay. Anything else?
I just wanted to suggest that the marketing program has been moving along. WizBang has made some progress, and I'll probably be looking to get a subcommittee meeting of both yourself and Councilmember Peterson to update you on that.
Okay, very good.
By 5 p.m. on Wednesday for the council member positions. At this point in time, we have not received any additional qualified paperwork. What we would like to do is ask you to set a special meeting, and that special meeting would need to be on a week from Wednesday. And the I can take you through the math, but basically there are 83 days before the election. There's a five-day noticing period in order to move forward with basically an appointment and avoiding an election. An election costs the city roughly around $10,000. And what we're going to bring before you on at that special meeting is basically a discussion and your choice to either move forward with an election or to appoint the people who have qualified as the successful candidates. By that time, we will know whether or not anybody has pulled papers for the council, anybody else has pulled papers for the council seats. What is going to happen is we will, in accordance with the law, we're going to publish a notice. Assuming no one else pulls by the end of Wednesday of this week, we're going to publish a notice that has to be stay posted for 5 days before the council can move forward with an action, whether that action is to cancel the election or to decide to move forward with the election. And I'm not asking you to deliberate that or make that choice now. And then basically the window, the magic window, is either Wednesday or Thursday, and Thursday seems to be the last possible day. Yeah. So therefore staff would prefer to set the special meeting for Wednesday. We are open to any time on Wednesday. We don't foresee that to be a long meeting. I would estimate, unless the discussion takes us into some greater depths, that one way or the other, no matter what the decision is, I can't foresee that meeting lasting longer than 30 minutes. So with that, I'm open to any questions, but basically we would suggest that there is a special meeting set for a week from Wednesday, which is, I believe, the 18th of August.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, and that meeting would only be necessary if no one else comes forward and files for council.
By telephone. I can't be here.
No. Okay.
Well, I like the idea.
Are you?
I'm okay.
You okay?
I like that idea.
Okay. I mean, great idea.
Don't have to have an election. Why
let's save
the money.
Save. Okay.
We have a time for that, though, or we don't know.
What's the
time? Anytime you say, he don't care.
Yeah, that is completely open. Staff will make themselves available for whatever time is convenient. We understand that this is a imposition on your schedules.
Well, can we then communicate by email to the clerk about when everybody's available on the 18th?
So we would hope to get that decision from you today, so we can.
Okay.
We're given direction that should no one else come forward, and should the number of potential candidates be equal to the number of positions, that there is an opportunity to save the city some money if there is no election. So we have to have a special meeting. So. I think we all are in agreement with that concept.
Absolutely.
And so looking at the 18th, we know that Councilmember Peterson cannot be there, but I think we've got a quorum, if there's four of us.
I'll be there.
And I think the timing would certainly have to be about this. I know, Karen, your schedule's from one of the tougher.
Well, I'm working, of course, so it would have to be in the evening for me.
Sure. Okay.
Sure.
So, I mean, if we could do it the same time we usually do,
I'd
be good with that.
6:30?
August 18th, 6:30.
Since when?
All right, you too. Okay. And thank you, staff, for bringing it. 6:30.
Whenever I
want. And Councilmember Peterson, we'll look at the potential of having you patch in telephonically. I very frankly need to reevaluate in my mind, because it would be my recommendation, if the council wishes to move forward with this, with canceling the election, then the process of appointment should exclude those members who are being appointed.
That was my neck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to basically make sure that we do have a quorum that can qualify to vote, and if we don't, then we would probably have you have a discussion about whether or not we're going to teleconference you in.
Right.
There are noticing requirements that are pretty onerous, but if it's necessary, we'll do it. So I will be in touch with you on that issue.
Yeah.
And Okay. I did have one last thing, and I should have brought this up on the communications. I'm sure many of you saw the article in the newspaper on Friday regarding the Grover Beach Lodge with conference facility. Yes. And without speaking to the details of the article, I think it was great that they included a master site plan. And I think people in the community now have finally seen the project that's coming forward. And so I think there may be an opportunity to re-engage the community with this project, because the environmental or the EIR is being prepared right now. I think everyone will publicly have a chance to review that and give comments later this year, Bob.
Yes.
That's scheduled. But in the interim, I think we might want to think about a workshop, a joint workshop with the Planning Commission, and really do some outreach to the community to let them know that this project we've been talking about for, well, since before I actually was on the council or lived in Grover Beach. You've been here longer than me. I've been here 23 years. But I think it's a great opportunity to let folks come and see the plan, ask questions early on, and answer, so we can answer any so we can have that discussion at our next meeting and figure out when that might make some sense to schedule a meeting or a workshop for the community.
Good idea. Good idea.
Okay. And that was done relatively quickly. I just wanted to bring that up. Okay. If there are no other comments from council members or staff, we have no closed session tonight. We are adjourned.
Good job.